Last Friday, I stopped by the warehouse of the company where I had worked for 40 years. I went there to pick up a product for a friend. And I went on Friday because Phil, the warehouse manager, cooks breakfast for his coworkers on Friday. Pancakes, bacon, sausage, scrambled eggs, and home fries. Now, I had seen him several months ago at an Ace Hardware store. And he told me about that and invited me to come for breakfast, and so I did. Breakfast was great. And it was good to see people that I had not seen since I had retired. One of them asked me what I was doing since I retired. Now, when I'm asked that question, my answer is, well, believe it or not, I'm serving as the pastor of a small United Methodist church in Lancaster County, and that I love it. Nancy, the woman who asked the question, seemed surprised. And I've often wondered why those who've asked that question of me seem surprised. Is it because after spending 40 years in the pest control business, I'm now serving our risen Savior? Or is it because my past actions seem so different from those expected of a pastor? Was Nancy judging me? Or did she fear that I might judge her? And I suppose that either answer is possible. For people do judge us, especially us professing Christians. They judge us by our words and our actions. And sadly, we professing Christians have a reputation for judging others, sometimes harshly. Solomon said, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. And I believe that when we truly give to others a kindly word or action, we truly act as Jesus did. And according to Scripture, we will be repaid for our generosity. At some point in our lives, we have all experienced a form of hurt and sometimes of judgment. Perhaps if we embraced some of the wounds that we have, it might help us to understand where others are in their life journeys. For if we see what Jesus saw, we might then be able to do what Jesus did. As I said, the gospel lesson from Luke 6 is part of what's called the Sermon on the Plain. And it does parallel in many ways the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. So let's take a look at the verses from Luke and consider how they might call us to live into them. The Sermon on the Plain actually begins verses before in verse 20 of chapter 6. And there are four blessings on the poor, the deprived, the sorrowful and the persecuted. And then following those blessings are four woes or curses. Speaking of the tragedy of being rich, of being satisfied, of being carefree, and of being popular. You see, Jesus kind of reverses the world's way of looking at things. Heaven's values and value system are far different from Earth's value system. So don't get caught up in the world's way of ranking things. It's too often in error. And then Jesus gives seven startling commands. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who use you spitefully. Turn the other cheek to the one who strikes you. Give generously to everyone who asks you. And finally, Jesus lays down the golden rule. Whatever you want people to do to you, do that to them. Jesus contrasts his ways with the ways of the world. And he points out that even sinners love those who love them. And isn't doing good to those who reciprocate a standard behavior for almost all people? And it's the same with lending to those you expect to pay you back, you know, to pay back the loan. There's really nothing praiseworthy about either one of those behaviors, is there? But to love your enemies, to do good and lend without expecting repayment, now that is extraordinary. For that's what God does for us. God is the God of generosity. And then Jesus concludes his message with instruction not to be judgmental, condemning, or unforgiving. We are to give generously, for what we give, we will receive. Now, I know how all this sounds, at least to me. It's wonderful to consider this level of caring love, of kindness and generosity. But this is the real world, isn't it? Can you imagine how hard it would be to do those things? Maybe somewhere, just somewhere, there might be individuals who live like this. Possibly even groups of people who live like this. Where do you think we might find them? Maybe at the grocery store? Or at the post office? Oh, I know, at the diner. We'll find them at the diner. Could we find them in a church? It would be good to know where to find these people. For I would certainly like to be around them and to get to know them. The Barna Group, which does studies on churches and religion, reports that 49% of American non-Christians have a favorable view of Christianity. Yet at least half of American adults see no value in personally attending church. Maybe it's because the church has lost sight of its call to be a community of growing disciples, deepening their faith and encouraging one another along the journey. Meeting people where they are and boldly welcoming them into the family of God. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? And it's certainly difficult, if not impossible, to do that on one's own. We all need the support of a group that offers us support as we strive to grow in love. To grow in love, we must be around people that love. We in the Western world are addicted to self-help literature. If you go to a bookstore, to a Barnes and Noble, there's an entire section labeled self-help. And I'm betting they sell a lot of books. But often it seems difficult to find the results of an individual having read that book. There probably could be some. But I'll bet the results are much, much greater amongst a group of people who support each other, who are there during those trials in that journey of life that I talked about earlier. Now, these people that don't come to church see no need to personally attend church. Maybe those people are, maybe they've watched or maybe they've heard church people and been put off by what they saw or what they heard. You know, when our words or actions seem to be contrary to the teachings of Jesus, and we seem to be judgmental, even maybe hypocritical, to those who are watching us. So I have a simple faith. I believe that Jesus came to turn the world upside down. He came to restore the created world, our created world, to the way that God intended when He created it. He came to show us what God looks like, acts like, loves like. And then He said, go and do likewise. When we live as the world lives, we're no different. And if we're able to live loving even our enemies, we are certainly different. And I believe people will notice that difference. Some might even be impressed enough or curious enough to want to know more, or maybe even to become part of such a people. I believe that there are two reasons why people don't attend church. Some are put off by our words and our actions, and others haven't been asked to come to church. We can change both of those reasons. Let us see what Jesus saw when He came to be among us. He saw people needing God's love, people who were poor, deprived, lonely, and unloved. And if we do what Jesus did, we will be better. And so will our community. It won't be easy, but the rewards are eternal. Amen.